Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Nathan. How's it going? Miss you. Praying for you. Hope you're doing well. If you hear motorcycles in the background, I hope that makes you feel like you're in Calvary Chapel on a Sunday morning. It's Saturday afternoon for me right now, and I'm sitting in my office at church recording this, and the motorcycles are zooming by, but that's just what it's like on Sunday mornings at Calvary Chapel in the spring, too, so if you hear that, that's what's going on. The text on which the teaching is based today is Acts chapter 2. We'll be at the end of the chapter, verses 41 to 47. So grab a Bible and open it up to Acts chapter 2 if you haven't already. And let me pray and we'll jump in and look at God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it's true. We pray that you would speak to us right now through your Word. We pray that your Spirit would work. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in me, and I pray that your Spirit would work in your people as they listen. And, help us to believe what you've said, and I pray that you would change us and make us more like your Son, Jesus. Make us into the people that you want us to be together, your church. Help us to be the church you want us to be. And I pray that as we study this text right now, that you would use it in that way. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. There was a movie that came out in 1972 called The Candidate, about a politician that runs for office. And the movie is about just his path to winning election as a governor or a senator, as I think it was. And he, towards the end of the movie, he wins the election, and then there's the famous line where he looks at his staff that helped him win the election, and he says, "What do we do now?" this text that we're going to look at today is a "what do we do now" kind of a text. It's about people who have become believers in Jesus. They heard Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. They trusted in Jesus. They believed in him and received forgiveness of their sins. They received the Holy Spirit. And then it's like, now what? What do we do now? And it really did change their lives. And this shows what this new life was like, how it changed their lives. If you're listening today and you're a new believer in Christ, this is going to be a great text for you to listen to, because it shows you what life is like for a new Christian or any Christian. How does it change your life now that you become a believer in Jesus and have His Holy Spirit? Or if you're exploring Christianity, if you're checking it out and you're interested, it's great for you to hear this, because you'll know what you're getting into if you just do decide to trust in Jesus. And if you've been a believer for a while, this is going to be good for the rest of us to hear this too, because it's really easy to get distracted from the basics of the Christian life or to drift away from it. So it's good to be reminded of what the basics of the Christian life are. The basic, core, fundamental elements of the Christian life. And so the text will be Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47. We're going to take 4 weeks on this text, at least that's what we're planning, Lord willing, to talk about what the new believers did, what this new community that they became part of was like, the characteristics of it, the four key characteristics of this new community. So today we're going to look at the first one, how they were devoted to learning things. So let me read the text and then we'll jump in. So those who accepted his message were baptized. And what this means is the people who heard Peter's message about Jesus and believed it. Those who accepted his message were baptized. That was the sign of their new faith. The public declaration of their new faith, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is God's word. So these new believers in Christ had heard the message about Jesus. They had repented of their sins. They had believed in Jesus. They trusted in him. They had received forgiveness of their sins. God saved them. They received the Holy Spirit, which we've been talking about for a couple weeks. The Holy Spirit of God came in and lived in them. They were baptized to express that new faith. And now what it says is they became part of a community. They became part of a group of people, other believers in Christ, who had the Holy Spirit of God. And they're committed to each other. They're committed to following God together. They're committed to meeting each other's needs. And the first description or the first characteristic of this new community that that is in this text is it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So these are Jewish people. They're from a lot of different places. And as we heard, they have different cultural backgrounds. They speak different languages, but they all would have valued the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament. They already loved the Word of God. They already knew something about the Word of God. But it says, as they met together now, continually met together, they were devoted to what the apostles taught. And the apostles were the eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry and of his death and of his resurrection. And so the apostles are telling about what they've seen and heard, all about Jesus, what Jesus accomplished, what he did. So the people, as they're listening to the apostles' teaching, they're learning all about what Jesus taught. Like Jesus said in the Great Commission, he tells his followers, as they make new disciples, to teach them all I have commanded you. So they're learning about what Jesus taught. They're learning about what he did, especially that he died for their sins and rose again, and everything that means, what it means to have forgiveness of sins, what it means to have the Holy Spirit, what does it mean that he's coming back, what does it mean that he's going to be the judge of the world, that he's going to make the world new again. What is that all about? They're learning about what Jesus has done and what he taught. They're learning about how the Old Testament scriptures point to Jesus, the way that Peter talked about in his sermon on Pentecost, how Psalm 110, you know, written by King David 1,000 years before, how that points to Jesus and is fulfilled in Jesus. And the rest of the Old Testament, too. They're learning how the scriptures point to Jesus and they're fulfilled by him. Now, the apostles' teaching got written down in the New Testament, in our Bible. And so what we can say is, even though it wasn't in written form yet, what these new believers in Christ were devoted to together is that they were devoted to God's Word. They were devoted to learning things. They were learners, and they even after they had initially received the message and believed it, they kept on learning. They were devoted to learning about God's Word. Not only did the very earliest Christians, not only were they devoted to learning about God's Word, but the church since then is devoted to God's word, or it should be. I mean, there have been periods in history and certain churches that have not been, but we should be devoted to God's word. Why should we also be devoted to God's word? One reason is that it shows us the truth of God. These are God's words. It's God's message to us. God is speaking to us through his word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, Peter is writing about the authors of Scripture, and he says that these writers were, what they said were the very words of God, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit as they wrote. So they expressed their thoughts in their own language and their own ideas, but God's Spirit was also working in them so that they wrote down exactly what God wanted them to say. So in one sense, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we're hearing the very words of God. Not only that, but God saves us when we trust in the message that's in the Word of God, in the Bible. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, or the Word about Christ. So as we hear the message about Jesus, that's the form that God has chosen to bring his salvation. That's the means that he's chosen to bring his salvation into the world, is by allowing people to hear the message about Jesus and they believe it. And then God gives them new life and forgives their sins and gives them the Holy Spirit as they trust in this message. But it's not just like the doorway in to being a Christian. It's also, the Word of God is also the way that we grow and we learn. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness. So the idea with that is that the Scripture tells us as believers what we should believe and how we should live. So teaching is what to believe, rebuking is what not to believe, the false things we shouldn't believe. Correction is how we should not live when we veer off the path, and training in righteousness is how we should live. The Scripture carries all that weight and does all that for us. It helps us not only to become believers in Christ, but it helps us grow as believers in Christ. The Scripture unites us as God's people, as a church. When Jesus prays for unity, for his church at the on the right before he goes to the cross, and in John 17, there's this beautiful prayer that he's praying for the people that will one day believe in him. And he's praying for unity. In John 17:20, it says, "I pray not only for these, but also those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you." So he's praying for unity among his people that'll believe in him. And what the thing that unifies them is that they're believing in the word, the message about him, which we have now in the Bible. So some people might say the way to have unity in the church is to forget about doctrines and forget about these things that divide us, that people have different beliefs. But Jesus would say the way to have unity in the church is to be centered around the Word of God and to actually believe what it says, that we're unified around the Word of God. The Word of God is what helps us to grow in our relationship with Him, with God. It's God's way of talking to us so that we can hear from Him and learn what He's like and grow in Him. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how the Queen of England was encouraging people to meditate during the pandemic, and I said that, you know, most people are not offended by this call to meditate, but it's because different people have different ways that they understand what meditation is. In Eastern religions, or in transcendental meditation, the idea is that you empty your mind, you clear it of, you clear your mind of clutter or clear your mind of content, so that you can be open and to some force or some energy, and get your mind lined up, and that helps you in your life. The Bible talks a lot about meditation, but it's a very different kind of a meditation. When the Bible talks about meditation, it talks about meditating on the Word of God, on filling your mind with certain words and certain ideas. And so instead of emptying your mind, it's filling your mind with something. The reason for these differences have to do with different concepts of what God is like. So in Eastern religions, there's not a personal God, or God, or the supreme God is not a personal God. Sometimes there are lesser gods that are manifestations of the supreme God, or the Tao or something like that. But it's not a personal God. And so if God is not personal, to get in touch with this God, you need to empty your mind of content and of thought, to get in touch with this energy or this force that kind of comes into you like an electric charge. But if your concept of God is that God is personal, then you need to fill your mind with his words, so that you can be in touch with him. And since we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is a personal God, he's personal, then we need to hear his words, the Word of God. In Christianity, God is personal, the Holy Spirit is personal. And so when you're filled with a person, you're filled with his words. If my mind is filled with the person I love, I think about her. I think about what she looks like, I think about what she does, and I especially think about the things that she says. And so if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with the Word of God, the words that the Holy Spirit has said. So that's why it's important for the church, for this new community of believers that we're a part of, if we're believers in Christ, believers who have the Holy Spirit. It's why it's important for us to be devoted to the Word of God, is so that we can get to know God and live the way that he wants us to live. Now, we don't always do that. We're not always filling our minds with the Word of God. There are sometimes barriers, things that get in the way of our devotion to God's Word. And I want to mention some of those and talk about how we can not let those things keep us from being devoted to God's Word. And what I think one of the first things, when we talk about being devoted to God's Word, one of the first things that people will say that keeps them from spending time in God's Word, or from listening to it or reading it, is they say they don't understand it. And I am very sympathetic to that, because the Bible was written, the New Testament was written 2,000 years ago, or just under that, and the Old Testament was hundreds of years before that, and it's a different language, different culture. It's hard to translate it into language that we can understand easily, and there's just a lot of background that's difficult. But I don't think that has to be a barrier for us to hearing from God. And the best advice that I would give to somebody who says, I'd like to hear from God, I'd like to learn from God's Word, but I have trouble understanding it, is to do what these believers did that we just read about. And it's to listen to somebody teach the Word. It's to study God's Word with somebody. It says that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So they were hearing the message from God, and the message about Jesus, but they were hearing it from somebody who had been there and could talk to them about it. And that's what we should do too, is we should study God's word with somebody and be humble enough to let somebody teach you, to be part of a small group at church, or to have a friend who's been a believer longer that you can study God's word with, and that person can guide and help and answer questions, and if they don't have the answers, track down an answer. Now, of course, these days there are so many resources for helping to study God's word online, and then, you know, just like a good study Bible that has notes is so helpful. And there's so many resources that we have available, but I think the best advice I would have is to study God's word with somebody. The second barrier that I can think of that gets in the way of our devotion to God's word is we say we don't have time to look at God's word because we're such busy people. And it's true that we are very busy. But one of the advantages of all the technology that we have right now is it shows us that even though we are really busy, we're not as busy as we think we are. I don't know if you ever look at the screen time feature on your phone. I have been shocked as I have looked at that over the past few weeks, especially since the pandemic started, the amount of time that I have spent staring into my phone, and my phone keeps track of it without me asking it to, and it tells me. Now, of course, a lot of that time is like working, like corresponding with people and doing reading for making plans for the church. But, you know, there's a lot of the time that we spend staring into our devices that is kind of like obsessive tracking of information that we don't necessarily need to track all the time constantly. You know, like how many cases of COVID are in Connecticut now? And then 5 minutes later, well, how about now? And then 5 minutes later, well, how about now? Or what does this person say we should do about it? Or that person say we should do about it? And besides all the information, there's just all the kind of mindless entertainment. And, you know, people send you funny videos of people spraying down their whole house with hand sanitizer and then lighting a cigarette and the whole thing blows up. And that stuff is funny. But when you look at how much time you spend actually staring at your devices, you realize our problem isn't that we don't have enough time. Our problem is just how we prioritize our time. And so I think that the answer to this dilemma for myself and for anybody is, instead of saying I don't have time to study God's word, is to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God first. And so make that commitment the first thing that we put on our calendars. Could be first thing in the morning, but if not, it's the first thing that we put on our calendars that we make sure we do, to hear from God each week and each day, and then let other things fill in the other spaces in our day. I think the last barrier that gets in the way of us being devoted to God's word is that we don't like what it says. To be honest, sometimes we read God's word and we just don't like it. And there are some people that read all the stuff that God's word, all the material that got in God's word about love and generosity, and they love that part of it, that God's word is calling on us to love people and to be generous to people. But they're turned off by what God's word says about morality and about truth, and we think, oh, that's really narrow. I don't like that part, and so you just dismiss that part of it. And there are other people that really like the stuff about morality and responsibility, but then when you read the stuff about selling your possessions and giving your money away, you're like, oh, that's a little much. Now you're getting in my business, and you kind of write God's word off or dismiss that part and say, oh, that part was just cultural or something like that. So we find ways in our minds to receive the things in the Bible that affirm what we already think, and then we find ways to dismiss the things that we don't already think, or we ignore the Bible because it says things that we don't already think. But what we need to do is understand that this is a relationship with God. And when you're in a relationship with somebody, that person doesn't always agree with you. that person has the right to contradict you sometimes. And when you have a conversation with them, they're not just parroting back to you everything you already think. Sometimes they say things to you that you don't like or that they disagree with. And we need to give God the right to disagree with us and to correct us. We should expect that he would and not be surprised by it and not dismiss him because he doesn't agree with us all the time. We should be humble enough to say that maybe God knows more than I do about this and allow God's word to come into our lives and we can listen to it and be humble and submit to it. What I'd like to do now is just mention a couple of practical ways that we can be devoted to God's word during this time. And I think we should just know that right now what we need is to hear the word of God. What we need during the pandemic is to hear God's word. God's word gives us peace, and we need peace right now. Because when we hear God's word, we know that God is in control, and we know that he has a plan and that we can trust him. God's word gives us joy because we know that we have a good future to look forward to. We know that by reading God's word that we have his presence in our lives with us right now, and that gives us joy, and we have each other, and we are, as we meditate on God's word, and as we let God's word speak into our hearts, it gives us joy, and that's what we need. God's word gives us love. It shows us how God loved us when we didn't deserve it, and he puts his love in our hearts so that we can love other people. And that's what we need. We need peace and joy and love right now. And so God's word is what we need during this difficult and challenging time. So in everything that we should do, everything that we do as a church, we need to be gathered around the word of God. In usual times, we have all kinds of meetings and gatherings. And every time that we have a gathering, we should gather around the word of God and not waste the opportunity to hear from God, to let him speak into our lives. So if you're a group leader or a volunteer in one of our ministries, don't let the opportunity go by to share God's word, to speak the word of God into the lives of the people around you, because that's what they need. They need to hear from God. And during this time, we've tried to come up with a way to stay plugged into God's word and stay listening to God's word, even though we can't meet with our groups, because we really learn to depend on our groups, which is a great thing. But our groups aren't meeting, at least not in the usual way. Some of the groups are finding ways to connect online and by phone and that kind of thing. But what we're doing is we're putting out devotionals each day through our email list, the InfoNet, and on Facebook. And I would just encourage you everyone in our church to listen, to get those devotionals, and it gives you a text to read from the Bible. This week it was from Colossians. And so you read the text, and then you can, it has a suggestion for prayer, but you can pray about whatever's on your heart and talk to God, and then a song to sing, and you can sing. So read and then pray and then sing. And it's great to do it with a family, if you can. If you've got people in your family that are interested and willing to hear God's word. I was especially thinking of families whose kids are home from school right now because of the pandemic. So if you're a mom or dad, if you could just open up God's word and read it to them, and you don't have to be an expert and know all the answers to everything, but it can spark some great discussions, and you're just letting God speak into your life. This week there's a passage we read in Colossians about children obeying your parents, and then right after that it was parents don't exasperate your children, and so that really spoke into our situation, and there was something for everybody there, and we got to just hear from God and try to live in light of that day, so that's just a simple way for us all to be connected because we're reading the same passages together as a church, even though we're not meeting together. So I would encourage you to grab those devotionals and follow those as we go through this time. The earliest church was devoted to the Word of God. They were devoted to learning. They were humble enough to say that they didn't know everything and they needed to keep learning something. And we need to be devoted to God's Word too. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, which is in the Bible. Devoted to the Word of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your Word, and I pray that we would be a church that is devoted to your Word, devoted to learning your Word. And I pray that your Word would work in us and shape us and make us into the people that you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.